This is Engaging the Community, a monthly conversation with the president of Missouri State University, Cliff Smart. Welcome back to the program, sir.
Happy to be here as always, Scott.
Earlier this month, the MSU Board of Governors approved a revision of its non-discrimination ordinance to include additional categories. Could you tell us what is now included in that policy?
We specifically added five subcategories of the category sex. And so those would include marital status, family status, pregnancy, gender identity, and gender expression. And then we added a new category, genetic information, as another protected class. That means, for example, if you have a history of a particular disease in your family, where we wouldn't ask about that. We wouldn't ask about that as a part of your job interview, nor would we, if we learned of it, would not be a reason not to hire you because our health costs might be more. There's a specific federal act that includes that category, and we had not been discriminating on that basis. But, you know, this was really a catch-up to make sure our policies were reflecting our practice.
That was mentioned several times upon approval from the board. Even the lone dissenting vote against the policy mentioned this is something that we've practiced. We now want to put it in writing.
And we thought it was important to put in writing particularly the gender identity, gender expression categories, given the vote to repeal that ordinance in Springfield.
From a city perspective.
That's right. We wanted to communicate to any of our students, any of our current employees, any job applicants that we would not be discriminating on any of those bases. And, you know, and that also includes, you know, if you come and apply for a job and you're pregnant, we don't take that into account. Or if you get pregnant while you're employed here, we're not going to cut you loose. That had always been a protected class under both federal and state law. We wanted to make that absolutely clear. You know, also if you're married or not, also if you have children or not. Those kind of things are not valid reasons not to hire or to terminate someone. And so that had been our practice. That had been really included in the word sex when we say we don't discriminate based on sex. But we just thought it was appropriate to spell out all of the subcategories of protected classes so that our students and employees and job applicants would know we're not going to discriminate on any of those bases.
Now, since the repeal last spring, had that been a question that had come up a lot?
I would just say it had been a question of concern. Faculty Senate, Staff Senate, SGA, you know, had all taken positions against repealing the non-discrimination ordinance that the city had passed. There were questions from students that were looking at Missouri State. Hey, what does this mean now that Springfield is going to say that, you know, if I'm a gay or lesbian student, that I'm not going to be protected here? And we just wanted to make it crystal clear that Missouri State University doesn't discriminate on any basis except for merit. And we thought it appropriate to specifically call out all those classes that either federal or state government had said were protected.
Okay. While we're discussing non-discrimination policy, I wanted to get an update on recent complaints brought against MSU's Assistant Vice President of Multicultural Services, Juan Meraz. A student group had alleged, among other things, acts of discrimination from Meraz, and earlier this month submitted a petition calling for his dismissal. The school issued a response saying it had certain policies for addressing personnel issues. What can you tell us about the status of that situation?
Yes. So first let me say that, you know, there was a petition going that was critical of Juan, and then another petition going that was supportive of Juan.
Right.
We don't make personnel decisions based on how many people sign a petition, either in support or against a particular employee. But having said that, there was a complaint filed by a student against Juan Meraz. It was investigated pursuant to our policy by our equal opportunity officer. She made some findings, reported those to the student. The student has essentially accepted those findings. We have the equal opportunity officer has referred the whole matter over to Dr. Cisco, who is Juan Meraz's supervisor, for any appropriate mentoring, coaching, discipline that she believes should occur to rectify that situation. And that's really the extent that I can comment on that, because we don't talk publicly about any kind of disciplinary action that we take against an employee, or frankly, whether we take any disciplinary action or not against an employee based upon a complaint. But I think we're essentially at the point that that matter internally has run its course and has been resolved.
Okay. Also, in that response to the complaint earlier this month, the university outlined some of the diversity initiatives going on, and there were some that took place even this week, including consultant Lori Patton Davis visiting campus, plus the establishment of the bias response team. How will these efforts help deflect or identify potential cases of discrimination and offer a more inclusive environment?
Yeah, and so the third one I would add to your list is our diversity council that, mm-hmm. that I've appointed, met this week for the first time. It has 8 or 9 students on it, community members on it, faculty and staff, administrators on it. And that group is really going to be our primary group that vets diversity and inclusion initiatives. They looked at our long-range plan for diversity and gave input on that. Dr. Patton Davis addressed that group on multicultural programming and what her recommendations are to staff that up, what kind of programs or initiatives we should begin, how we can better utilize our space. And so she's been on campus interacting with the student affairs folks, various student groups, our diversity council. And then the last piece of that was a bias response team. If there are incidents in the residence hall, if there are incidents of someone, you know, as happened in Columbia, driving by in a pickup truck screaming at people profanity or inappropriate words, we want to both be aware of that, and particularly if there's a pattern of that in a particular residence hall or fraternity or sorority or other place, to be able to do some education, to respond to that, to interact with folks, to make sure we are an inclusive campus and that that we're welcoming and that there aren't those kinds of incidences going on to the extent we can prevent them.
President Cliff Smart, thanks for joining us on Engaging the Community.
Thanks, Scott.